You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network.
What it is? Welcome to Fresh Tate. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot here with Mr. Joel Johnson talking about Better Call Saul. This second half of the season, the storytelling is so good. And, you know, we talked about this off air, and I think we talked about it on air, but the era of the anti-hero, right? In many ways, of kind of rooting for Walter White and rooting for Don Draper when they've done really bad things. I think Don Draper's out of this conversation now compared to Walter White. And this is more like a Dexter in this conversation, right? And I think up until this point, you were kind of rooting for Saul, but up until that scene with Carol Burnett, I forget her character's name. You can remind me in a second here. But up until that scene, you're just like, oh, this is a really bad guy.
He slipped into his Walter White for a moment when he was tightening the cord. Yeah. And then he realized it. He became the Jimmy that helped fight the Sandpiper people. Mm. Like, he instantly reverted back when he realized what he'd become. I think this is his deep psychological way of getting caught, because after that phone call with Kim, where it's basically like, turn yourself in, he's now done everything in his power to get caught and be in a position where he's basically playing Russian roulette until the wheels fall off. Like, he's riding this thing until it falls apart, and it is falling apart. It's absolutely falling apart. The scene with everything that happened in this episode was amazing. I think the most haunting thing from the episode, though, was the yep. I don't think I can hear yep ever again. Mm. Because of the very bland boyfriend just yelling yep while he's having sex with Kim. And it's just like, it's like, oh my god, poor
it's almost
Kim.
Like she thought she deserved that bland and douchey of a boyfriend. It was like, this was her penance.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because Kim Wexler basically put herself in copy editor, so she's reviewing stuff, which is where Howard put her when she got caught up in some Jimmy shenanigans. Mm-hmm. Was in doc review. So she's put herself in that position. She doesn't make decisions anymore. You hear it throughout the whole episode where she doesn't have an opinion. Everyone else makes decisions and she just goes along with it. Because the last time she was making a decision, Howard died.
Well, and it was interesting too, the Jesse and the Kim scene. It's so perfect because that is the scene of the two people that were dragged down by these two people, right? And maybe they could have been better people. And at the end, they finally realized, no, what we're doing, they've gone too far. I need to have penance. And Jesse had it, obviously getting tortured at the end there by Todd's family. And then Kim is kind of going through the ringer, you know, in this basic ass life. And then obviously kind of giving that affidavit to Howard's widow.
Like, it, like that scene was perfect. Like, the two of them meeting together, and just the way it was shot, where Kim is walking out into the storm, and Jesse hasn't quite gotten into the storm yet because he hasn't met Walter.
Well, and who's about to meet Saul too, Joel? Mister, yeah. He's gonna get a little acidy soon.
Yeah, and it's just such. This show is so smart in its writing. It's so poignant. It's so, like, there's details that you don't think about that are then applied later on. And you're like, oh shit, that makes a lot of sense. Like, this is perfect the way they've done that. And that was Jesse's last scene. From my understanding, Walt, Bryan Cranston, Aaron Paul both shot two scenes, one of them together, which, man, we didn't do a recording on that episode. I was so happy to see them in the RV and hanging out awesome. Again.
Yeah.
And I feel like we get Walt and Saul, because it is that pairing off. Kim and Jesse are on one spectrum, and then Walt and Saul are on the other. And yep. You can see it, like, Jimmy's dead. Jimmy's long gone. It's now all about Saul. Like, he's so...
Gene, whatever his alias is.
He is so crusted over whatever Jimmy was. And especially with Kim leaving, like, there's just nothing left of that character that we knew in season one. It's crazy to see how... Like, when you see Saul now, it's like, oh, man, this is, it adds to the skeevy level.
Yeah.
Because, well, you saw what Jim was at the beginning.
Yeah, and it's even funny watching Kim and her kind of boring life, right? Of those are all the kind of things she did with Jimmy, is watch movies and get Chinese food and stuff like that. And that scene made me wonder, I think she did love Jimmy. I really do think she did. Just the way interacts with that dude. I can't remember the guy's name. I think it was Todd or something, or Brett or something. But the way she interacts with that guy compared to the way she interacts with Jimmy, right? Just the way the guy's like, oh yeah, there's an Outback Steakhouse. Should we go? She's like, sure. Whatever.
Yeah.
We should do Amazing Race. It's just like, she's so checked out. It's like, yes, this is what I deserve. This mundane situation where with Jimmy, like, they would look forward to watching their movies and getting the Chinese food and everything like that. And you put it so perfectly too, just the slip of Jimmy and even Saul go into the house. And I don't think they gave that character a name, the cancer guy that we know most famously from Big Bang, who played Howard. Who did he play in Big Bang, Joel?
He played not Howard. He played Stewart. He owned the comic book store. Yeah, he's very sickly.
Yeah, but Jimmy, he took the pictures, he did everything he needed to do, but he went the extra mile, like he did with Howard, right? He had Howard where it was, but he got in his law firm, and him and Kim were happy, but he had to go the extra mile with Howard that fully set him off the end, and so he had to go and get the watch and have a drink and do all this extra stuff to really go that extra mile that he didn't need to do.
Well, I disagree slightly on that. I feel like the main driving force for screwing with Howard was Kim. Kim, yeah. Like the smoking gun, the bang bang, and you're just like, oh God, what are you doing, Kim? Like, she, and like, you remember when she gave up the Clifford and Maine.
That's right. She just goes, they don't do it.
How, and Jimmy's even talking like, oh, maybe we call this off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we call this off now. But Jimmy, absolutely. Like, but there are other incidences where we see Jimmy can't stop being a con man.
Yeah.
Can't stop being a bad person. He can't stop it. And he can't control himself. He's like an addict. He couldn't stop himself, and he needed to go that next step. He was ready to bludgeon the guy with the dog's ashes, for Christ's sake. So, yeah, I think any sympathy that Jimmy has is it died a couple episodes ago.
This was kind of the full over your head, he's a villain, deal with it episode.
And I love it. Like, yeah. I thought, Jimmy's going to have a happy ending in him.
I think everybody did.
They did a great job pulling wool over our eyes. They did a fantastic job, like, just in terms of writing, in terms of character development with all of this. Like, this, like, after I was a little nervous after Howard died. I was like, how are they going to follow this all up? And they have. They've absolutely delivered in every which way you could want from this. Like, maybe you could move the Nippy episode to maybe a little bit sooner, but on the flip side, like, that was almost a nice breather episode, because we
led
just
up to this.
Yeah, it brought us here. It was a great foundation. Like, I really am excited to go back and watch Better Call Saul now, because it just seemed the evolution.
It's crazy. And it's so funny too, not funny, but that one scene with the Carol Burnett character in Bob Odenkirk, and it's such a great dramatic scene. I'm like, these are two, to some people, comedy icons, right? With everything Carol Burnett's done, and obviously Odenkirk having Mr. Show and all the stuff he did before being an SNL writer. It's like, these are two comedic icons, and here they are in a scene that's probably going to be looked at as one of the greatest dramatic moments in television history. It's crazy. And I think that goes to a lot of Carol Burnett's just a great actress. And I was wondering now with Carol Burnett, Joel, I thought, you know, you and I kind of talked about it, you know, with Joel and Jesse, they'll probably be in the guest nominations for the Emmys next year. Carol, I think, has got herself up to maybe being supporting actress now.
She's been great. And she's, who would have guessed she'd be the downfall of...
I know.
Gene. And like, you notice in the scene just before when he's tapping on the glass and he's looking for Marion, Carol Burnett's character, there's the wooden pillars that are in the house that line up so perfectly with the pillars and the glass. And I think it just signals where I think Gene's going to end up. I think he's going to end up in prison.
Yeah,
I think he's going to end up in prison.
He runs off, and look, I mean, he could go to the vacuum shop in theory, obviously, you know, the guy that was Sorry, go ahead.
That was the teaser where his car is turned over. I think it's his car, and he is more or less just like, he's reciting the vacuum cleaner thing that they say to get out of there. So he's definitely going to try to get out.
Yeah, and obviously we know the lead actor from that has passed away. So, I mean, you could always put someone else in charge of the vacuum store now. It's not the end of the world. You only get so many chances there, right? Because, like, I remember when in El Camino, didn't he tell Jesse that you only get one time at this?
No, I don't remember if he did or not.
I can't remember. I have to go back and watch El Camino. But I remember him telling Jesse, like, you get one move and then you're done. So I'm assuming, I think maybe he told Walt that. I can't remember. Because maybe he told Walt that when Walt was thinking about going back to Albuquerque.
Yeah, like, if you leave here, you can't come back. Yeah, that's what he told. He told Walt that. If you leave here. And that was basically when Walt made his mind up of what was going
to
happen.
And there's no one else to protect Jimmy, because there's that great scene of Kim... when she's driving, she goes by where we saw Mike start off at the work for kind of let the cars in and everything. And they go by the legal office and everything. And even, you know, Gene saying on the phone, being like, everyone's gone. And yeah, everyone, there's no one. Francesca's not going to help him. She got her money. She's done with him. She hung up the phone at him. She wants nothing to do with him. There's no one else to help him. So the vacuum guy is kind of his last help, but even if he gets the help there, like, who knows? I kind of agree with you too. Like, I think a lot of us, you and I kind of talked about this halfway. Like, we thought, well, Kim was originally from Nebraska. We thought, oh, he'll find Kim and kind of be like, hey, like, we went through this great thing together and I realized all my wrongs and blah, 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 blah. But this episode makes you realize, like, there is no happy ending for Jimmy. There's no happy ending for what he did to his brother, for what he did to Howard, for what he did technically to Kim in some ways. What he did to everybody, this is his comeuppance.
And the other thing is, you gotta wonder now, seeing more and more about how many scenes did we not see in Breaking Bad that Walt does something dumb and it's because it was a Saul Goodman idea? Like, how much did Saul play a role in Walt?
Mike
told him to leave it alone. Like, he said, there's nothing there with Walt. Just leave it alone. And he was right.
Yeah.
But Saul had to go to that school.
Yeah. He could have just been the lawyer and done his own thing. And instead, I mean, I was thinking about if he gets arrested, Joel, which I think we're all suspecting he will, or he's going to die. And I was thinking, so he's facing multiple fraud charges, right? Is it so, like, Kim, because Kim kind of talked about with the Howard thing, I don't think he'll face anything with manslaughter for the Howard situation.
No, that was all Lalo.
With Carol Burnett, is that technically going to be attempted murder? The way she reports it, like she could just say he broke in. So it's breaking and entering at the very least, multiple breaking and enterings. Because I'm assuming Carol Burnett's son, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
He'll snitch on him, probably, or tell his mom what happened there. And so multiple breaking and enterings as well. So at the best case scenario, I think 20 years is the best case scenario for him. Worst case is like 30 to 40.
I think Jimmy's going to become a jail lawyer. I think that's where he's going to be. And I think what we will see is the sad, because the other thing that you have to break down with this is this man sees the light in his life, sees the brightest spot in his life, not when he's with Kim, not when he's doing the Sandpiper stuff, but when he's Saul Goodman.
So with the phone, right?
Yeah. Like when he's being a skeevy, sleazy lawyer, he sees that as the pinnacle. So for Saul, the ending very well could be him being in prison as a lawyer and being like, I'm Jimmy, I'm practicing basic law here, and I'm giving all these people legal advice, and I'm treated like a king in prison. But really, it's the shittiest possible spot to be. But he's happy because everyone loves him and he gets to do his lawyer thing and be fully just Saul.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what he was reveling in, right? When Buddy goes to jail, he like playing with the phone and sitting there and kind of being maniacal. He's like, I get to be Saul again. I'm going to get this guy out of jail. I'm going to do my whole Saul thing all over again. I'm back in business.
Yeah. And that was also when he slipped up, when he said there is no bail bondsman. It's not like it's way easier than Albuquerque, because he told her he'd never been to Albuquerque. And then asked Jeeves was the other thing that sunk Gene.
Yeah, I mean, very well done. I mean, you're hearing today like Vince Gilligan, he's pitching his pilot around. It's going to be like an X-Files Twilight Zone type of show. And it seems like every single network now is lining up. It's funny because when we're heading into this Emmy battle here, it seems everyone is like it's Succession versus Saul for best drama, right? And we'll probably be doing the same thing again next year because Succession is just filming right now. Maybe The Last of Us will sneak in there, and The Crown will be in there as well in the 2023 Emmys. But it's just like, this is just such a special show right now, the way it's doing. And to even have the consideration that you could be better than Breaking Bad is a lot, considering how what Breaking Bad is in the pinnacle of television and what Vince Gilligan's been able to do, and not just him, everyone that's created the show.
I hope that whatever Vince does next, I hope he keeps a chunk of this crew together, because they've just killed it.
Yeah,
like they did an amazing job with all of like the writers, the cinematography.
Peter Gold, the other one to keep in mind, because he's the head creative of this one, not Vince Gilligan. It's Peter Gold.
Yeah, Peter Gold was actually the one that created Saul in Breaking Bad, so that's why, and he's getting the last episode. Vince got the second last one.
You could tell that was a Gilligan episode.
Oh yeah, that was 100% a Gilligan episode. I'm really excited to see what this crew does, because there's so many talented people. It'll be a shame it's done one day.
Man. So I think for the finale, we'll come on here. If we can, we'll make it, try to come on here and give you guys a pod after right away. But man, it's been a fun, it's such a bummer to know that this is coming to an end because of the roller coaster it's told this year of just getting these two halves of this. And so you kind of mentioned, Joe, like a lot of people after, you know, even when Lalo was caught, everyone's like, okay, so where does this show go? Like, it's just going to kind of be him in Nebraska. And it's just like, no, like the Nebraska part might be remembered as one of the best parts of the show in many ways. It's gone through so many twists and turns. Like, and you can make the debate, like what half is better, season one, the first half or the second half? Like, they're both just so brilliant.
They've done a fantastic job. It's a home run. It's a home run, and now we wait for episode 13 of Saul Gone.
Yeah, so just an idea here. So for all the episodes this year, so the final episode of part of season one, that was a 9.9, still an IMDb. Then we come back, 9.8, then 9.4. Nippy, like you said, that was a little bit lower. It's a 9, 8.6, but then after that, Breaking Bad, 9.2. Waterworks, which we just had, is a 9.7.
They've done a great job. Yeah, all those numbers deserve it.
It's going to be very criminal if Odenkirk doesn't get an Emmy at this point. We say with the things we say about awards and everything like that, but like at this point, this is kind of where like Ham was for a bit with Mad Men, right? It's like Cranston was in his way. That was the problem there for Ham. But it's kind of at the point of like, no, this is such a legendary character now. They need to be rewarded with an award.
They deserve an award. The writing staff deserves an award. Kim should get an award. Like, yes. They should be.
Oh my God, her on the bus, Joel.
How often have you seen someone cry like that?
Man, I don't know. And she also, comedy background, she was in the Whitney show before this. Like, the two lead actors of this are comedic actors. So, it kind of, we've seen that a lot of time with what Adam Sandler's doing and others, but it kind of shows you just can't pigeonhole people into roles. Because, I mean, Rhea, like, I don't think a lot of people knew about her. I didn't even know she was in the Whitney show because I never watched it, but she set herself up now for whatever she does going forward.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And one of my predictions, the scene that we will see between Walt and Saul, because I do believe we do get that scene in the final episode, is going to be them bunking in the vacuum house because they spent a few days together.
Right.
So I fully expect to have them talking maybe about wives. And we're also going to see maybe that's when Saul realizes, oh, I'm being too much like Heisenberg. And we know that ended for Heisenberg. I can't be like Heisenberg.
Is this the last we see Kim? Or do you think we see one more Kim scene? Because the scene she went out with, you mentioned it was so well done. And even like she flicks the cigarette and blows up the smoke and says, he used to be. It was almost kind of like she was spitting those words out and just moving on.
I think we see Kim in this episode.
Yeah.
I think we see Kim in this episode. I think there could be a courtroom scene. There could be a number of things that we see with Kim Wexler.
It's arguably the most anticipated television final since Game of Thrones. And that's a whole different bag of monkeys. But I would say that as far as television goes, this is the most anticipated finale that we've had for a premium show since Game of Thrones.
Oh, I'm getting AMC Plus to make sure I can watch this live and in beautiful color.
Nice.
Well, black and white.
There you go, folks. Better Call Saul, just a tremendous side. Of really keeping summer TV alive, because other than this, it's been a rough summer for some television, and Saul's been keeping us strong. We'll go in and we'll get that last episode of Saul, and then really things start heating up, and we'll talk about that on the rundown of what we can expect, because we'll have a fall TV preview on that. Joel, thanks so much, buddy. I know this is your universe of TV shows, and I know you're obviously very sad that I guess the Albuquerque verse is about to come to a close.
It's very bittersweet, but I will have a box set of Breaking Bad. I will have my box set of Better Call Saul, and I will have El Camino, and I can come visit that world every couple of years.
Last question.
Matter of fact,
you go.
I may watch.
Oh, go ahead.
I may end up starting to watch Breaking Bad.
I think I'm down the road. We may even maybe do some pods because Morton is starting to watch. Our buddy Morton started to watch, so maybe we'll kind of do some recaps of that. We'll see what happens. But what really quick question, just on the whole of Saul, we'll talk more about the whole season, the whole show next week a little bit more, but when this show came out, I don't think either one of us pictured that we'd be at this point for it. We thought, oh, that's a nice little thing, and I'll kind of watch it. Maybe it'll be a comedy, kind of, right? I don't think any of us thought we would be at this point where we are for the finale.
Oh, no. I was like, oh, that's a little risky to do. I hope it works out. Well, I trust them. They did really well with Breaking Bad, so maybe they'll do well here. But it was definitely kind of very tepid expectations. And they just, man, every time that the new seasons come out, I'm like, all right, let's get going. It's all good, man. Let's keep it going.
There you go. I think that's the way to go out on it. Everyone, we will see you sometime next week, maybe Monday night, as we talk about the finale of Better Call Saul. Until then, cheers. Saul Goodman. Enjoy the day, people.
You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network.